now, get up out of bed, wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head, here's your clothes and your shoes, hear the words I said.
You are listening to Because I Said So, and we're talking today about adoption, a loving option. That's actually the platform for Delaware's outstanding teen, Morgan Burris, and she's joining us here today with her mom. And we also have another mom who's joining us who has adopted two boys with her husband, and we are going to hear her story, so stay with us.
Play, don't shovel, choose lovely, but hurry, the bus is here, be careful.
You're listening to Because I Said So, and just want to remind everyone out there that you can find us on the web at becauseisaidsoradio.com or check us out on our Facebook page. You can listen to all our shows via podcast, and you can find them on our website as well. Today, we have some very, very special guests with us. We have Miss Delaware's outstanding teen of 2012, 16-year-old Morgan Burris, and her mom, Wendy. Thank you for joining us, guys.
Hi, thanks for having us.
And today, a lot of times we pick a topic to focus on, and today's topic is adoption. And you actually, Morgan, have made, because you are Miss Delaware's outstanding teen, you made adoption your platform.
Yes.
And there's obviously a personal reason.
I was adopted, and my brother was adopted, and we've had 11 foster babies.
Wow.
Wow.
And this is exciting for me. This is Kathy, because I've known Morgan since she was born, and Wendy. So it's just so thrilling that I know Miss Outstanding Teen Delaware. I mean, I knew she was outstanding anyway, but now that everybody else in the state knows, it's very exciting.
Now, how old was Morgan when you adopted her, Wendy?
I got to see her being born.
Okay. So from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So you had an open adoption then? Is that how one describes that?
Yes.
Which means that you met the mother in advance and she chose you as the recipient?
Yes, we met Morgan's birth mother when she was 7 months pregnant, and we hit it off, and she came and gave me an ultrasound picture of Morgan, and I brought her pictures of Morgan's room, and we just connected, and she invited me and my husband to every ultrasound appointment and invited us to the birth. So, and what's our favorite part of your story when you were born?
Well, after I was born, my birth mother said, well, they asked who has to hold the baby first, and she's like, her mommy, of course, and so that was my mom.
So she, because we chose open adoption, and we just connected, we got the best gift of all. I mean, I got to see her. I didn't miss a minute.
Wow.
Now, how did the birth mother have a certain period of time to decide, you know, like she, or did she have a day, a week, a month, or could she ever change her mind?
There is a certain amount of time. Morgan was born in Pennsylvania, and each state has different sets of rules. I have to say, I did not have any fears with her because she had already had a child when she was younger. So, Morgan, what's that story?
Well, she had a 4-year-old daughter when she became pregnant with me, and she said that she wanted this child to have a mommy and a daddy. So that's how.
Wow.
We're talking about a young woman who, as she put it, I tried to play mommy, and this one's going to have everything.
Wow.
And, I mean, how do you? I just had so much. I have so much respect for her. I truly love her.
Right.
Are you in contact with her? Do you have a relationship with your birth mom?
Yes. I met her when I was younger, but now I'm friends with her on Facebook. So
we
keep up through the social media.
Wow.
That is cool.
That is cool. That's modern right there.
That's what social media is for.
It is.
Now, Morgan, I'm curious. Did you know, how do you remember finding out that you were adopted?
Well, there wasn't a time where I was sat down and my parents told me that, okay, we didn't give birth to you. It was just always through little things that I would know. And I would, obviously she didn't have a big belly when my brother was born, but I was 2 years old when my brother was born. And I just always remember that other people who were pregnant at the time, I would always ask my mom, Mom, did I grow in your belly? She was like, no, my tummy's broken, but there was never a time where they sat me down and told me that I was adopted. It was through little things that I always knew.
Wow.
Were you counseled, Wendy, to how to handle that? I mean, did you talk to someone about that?
We went through Bethany Christian Services, and they're very strong in the Delaware, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey area. And they did. They counseled the birth mother. They counseled us. And they gave us information. I read books. So we could kind of choose what was the best route for us. Mm-hmm.
Were you worried, Wendy? Were you worried that she would somehow feel, you know, that because you didn't give birth to her, that maybe, you know, she didn't belong or anything like that? Did that cross your mind?
I think in the beginning it did. But you know, every family has a unique dynamic. You know, maybe you're a single mother, or a single father. Maybe you live with your grandparents. Our family was built on adoption, so every family is unique.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of tried to push that little agenda mm-hmm. their whole life, and they drank the Kool-Aid. So.
Well, she obviously feels strongly enough about it that she's going around Delaware right talking about it.
Yes, I'm very proud of that.
That is exciting.
And your platform is adoption, a loving option. What is your message? What do you say?
Just to let teens know that if you're faced with an unplanned pregnancy, that there are other options out there, and that if you're scared and you're not ready to be a parent as soon as that child is born, that there's foster care, there's counseling, people that will be with you throughout the whole pregnancy, mm-hmm. just to let them know that there are a ton of other options.
Mm-hmm. That's a very powerful message.
You guys talked about you have fostered children as well, and I did a little bit of research because I find foster care fascinating. And in 2009, there were 424,000 kids in foster care in the United States. Mm-hmm. So how did you get involved in foster care?
It was an accident. Morgan was 2.5. My son was 6 months old. And the agency actually was in a bind. They said, you guys just went through the process. You're really our only legal people. And it was a little baby, needed somewhere to be for 2 weeks. He was 3 months old, getting ready to be placed for adoption, situation that the birth mother felt he wasn't going to be safe and taken care of, and she wanted to change her plans. And so we had little Michael for 2 weeks, and I got lots of funny stares because we had Morgan was a towhead, and Shannon's got the dark hair, and Michael was Mexican, and I had them all in the cart, and people would, because Shannon and Michael were the same size, so people were just trying to figure that whole thing out, calling them twins when clearly they weren't.
No.
It was fun, but that's how it kind of fell into our laps.
Mm-hmm. So how many kids have you fostered, Wendy?
11.
11. And how long was the longest child that you had in your home?
I believe around 4 months. Our situation's very different. Ours was specifically for, it's called interim foster care, and it's for the birth mothers who just haven't quite figured out what they want to do. And I feel like girls don't know about that. And that
is an option.
No,
because half of our birth mothers chose to parent given the proper amount of time, and half of the birth mothers place their child for adoption. And you know, they would come to the house for visits. So we, you know, they still had contact, but the ball was in their court.
Mm.
Do you feel like there's a big support out there for kids who have been adopted or for adopted parents? Are you involved with other adoptees?
Yes, actually a girl who is in the Miss America pageant with me, she is adopted, and she was adopted from China, actually, which is, I think, is awesome, just to know that there's another girl that's adopted and I can talk to about it. But I don't really have a lot of friends that are adopted, or I know that my godmother is a birth mother, but she still has contact with her daughter, so I think that's really cool.
So you are Miss Outstanding Teen Delaware. When do you compete to be Miss Outstanding Teen USA?
In August.
Oh, wow. Soon.
Yes.
And where's the pageant?
Orlando, Florida at the Rosen.
Wow. Are you nervous?
Not really. I just think it's a great experience that I never thought that I would have.
Yeah.
So is it just like other pageants where, obviously, if you haven't heard Morgan sing, she's an incredible singer, which I think is how she got into this whole thing to begin with, was her talent. But do you have an opportunity to talk about your platform in that? Like, they'll ask you questions about that?
Yes, there's a interview. It's the first part of the pageant where the judges just try to get a feel of what you would bring to the table as Miss America's Outstanding Teen. So you can actually, they can ask you questions about after they read your platform paper, and you just tell them what you want to do and how to help as Miss America's Outstanding Teen.
That's great.
What a great opportunity.
Good luck to you.
Thank you
so much.
We'll be rooting for you. Well, can we see it on TV?
I don't think this one's being televised.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
take some videos, Mom.
Yeah, you know it.
We follow her on Facebook that way, too.
All right.
Awesome.
Morgan Burris and Wendy Burris, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
I'm Helen Sini, host of Deutsche Welle's weekly news magazine Inside Europe. We dig a little deeper into the important stories shaping the region. From Dublin to Moscow, the issues facing Europe are also touching many Americans. So join us this week as we explore the people, politics, and culture of one of the world's most dynamic regions.
Thursday evening at 8 on NPR News Talk 90.7 WSDL.
We're talking about adoption today, and we just had some special guests on Miss Delaware's Outstanding Teen of 2012 and her mom, Morgan and Wendy. And now we have another special guest with us, Pam Green. You've actually heard a show before that we did with Pam's husband, Steve. He came on for our Father's Day show to talk about his father parenthood column that he has in the paper. So, Pam, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Steve was the one who had said, you might want to talk to my wife when he heard that we wanted to do a show on adoption, because you have two adopted boys.
We do, yes.
And they are 2 and 4. And it was,
God bless you.
I know.
Well, it's interesting, too, because the way, you know, Wendy's story was a very peachy story. Everything seemed very peachy. And from just a little bit of conversation I had with Steve, that's not so much the case with your story.
Ultimately peachy, but didn't start out
right,
so peachy.
Right. The ending was great.
The ending was peaches and cream.
Yeah. Can you kind of take us through the challenges? I guess in the beginning, you and Steve, you decided, okay, we want to adopt. And then where'd you go from there?
Yes. Well, in the beginning, we started the old-fashioned way, and then we did a year of in vitro, mm-hmm. which failed. And at the end of the year, we started thinking, okay, if this doesn't work, what are our options? Because the goal was to have children one way or another. So, I got on the internet, and I started looking, and I just got really lucky because we got a great agency, mm-hmm. and we started in 2000, sort of the fall of 2007, and the first thing we learned was that we needed to have a home study done, which we knew nothing about.
Yeah.
And the home study, not for the faint of heart. I mean, it's a lot of work, very intimidating when you get the paperwork in, but Steve's really good at that. So he just took it all to work, and every day we would tackle one thing and then another thing and then another thing.
Is it they want to know?
Yeah, is it about? It's more than just a study of your home. Is it about your philosophy on life? Or
it's everything. It's fingerprints and background checks and, his name is James Stephen Green. Well, you know how many people come up in the registry under James Green? So then it was, we had to have physicals. We had to, the fire department had to come into our home. The health department had to come into our home. We had to do classes. It took about probably 8 months to get it finished, and that was working on it a little bit every day.
Oh, wow.
That's so fascinating because, of course, anyone can go out and have a baby, bring it home, and nobody's the wiser. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it does get frustrating, and that's why I say, it would have been very easy a lot of times to say, this is too much. It's mm-hmm. just too much because there's nothing private anymore. Every single thing is looked into.
And that's for adoption here in the United States, right? You didn't adopt overseas?
We didn't, no. And not for any specific reason. I think there are a lot of misconceptions that there aren't infants in the United States. And there are. And in our case, very quickly, in both cases, we were able to be matched.
How long did it take?
Let's see. Well, we kind of strayed a little bit. We finished our home study, I believe, the end of 2007. We matched immediately through what I kind of did. We signed up with this agency, which was wonderful, but you're so eager to get started. So we kind of broadened our horizons, and I found someone else that I was able to connect with, and we matched with twins in Florida. And that was almost instantly. We found out in January of 2008. They were supposed to be born March 17th. We went down the end of February knowing that they probably would come early because this was her eighth and ninth child.
Oh, wow.
all had been put up for adoption, by the way.
Oh, my.
And so we went to Florida, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And finally, on March 17th, the due date, for some reason, my husband got up and called the Child Protective Services there, and they said, yes, the twins were born a month ago, and they are in foster care.
Oh.
What happened?
The birth mother, who was incarcerated, went into the hospital, told them she did not have an adoption plan, even though we had paid for the whole thing. And so they put the child in foster care pending her outcome of what was going to happen in court. She was looking at serving 8 years, but she asked the judge for leniency to be able to parent, that she thought it would be her last opportunity. And, you know, you never, ever doubt a birth mother for changing their mind. You know, I don't know how they do it to start with. Mm-hmm. But when a birth mother changes their mind to put them in foster care for 8 years, a little different story, you know, there's a lot of anger. So, you know, we got an attorney and we tried to fight it, and but it was rapidly becoming pretty clear that we weren't going to win that battle, that she was going to have the opportunity.
But why didn't the agency notify you before? I mean, that's confusing.
That's a very good question. We had to call the agency and tell them what we had found out. This is one of those cases where, you know, do your homework and lesson learned. Because when we got to Florida, we called them and said, you know, we're here and we'd love to come in and see you. And they said, well, why would we do that?
The agency.
Mm. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know what happened there. But
It's interesting. I do have a couple of friends who have adopted from the state of Florida. So there must be some, you know, Florida has easier rules or something like that.
Yes. Every state's different. And what that comes down to is how long they have to change their mind.
Right.
So Florida is a very fast state. Texas, I believe, is a very fast state. Maryland is 30 days. They actually do they sign away rights in the 24 hours after the 24 or 48 after the child is born, but they have 30 days to change their mind.
So 30 days, the child is placed into a home, and then there's 30 days that you kind of count down.
30 long
days. Yes.
Yeah. And in the case of our first child, it was even longer because the birth father wasn't signing right away. And so it was, I think, from May to July. Yeah. But some states, it's a year. In fact, Delaware, I think, is pretty long.
That is a long time.
I would think that has to be, or maybe I'm wrong, but I think that would be one of your biggest fears going into adoption, that, you know, you bring the baby home and 20 days goes by or whatever, and you've bonded after day one, and then they're taken away.
Yes. Yeah. I can't even imagine that. I mean, we didn't get to meet the twins, but, you know, we kind of got that. It's like a death, you know. I mean, we had a nursery ready. We had two car seats strapped in our car, and we drove, you know, 1,200 miles home with two empty car seats.
Wow.
So it was devastating. And, you know, on the way home, Steve got back on the phone and called our original agency and said, "We're back in." The whole time I was screaming, "No, we're not. No, we're not. We're getting those twins." But thank goodness he did, because I would say within 2 weeks we got a call on a Sunday about a birth mother who wanted to meet us that was pregnant with a little boy, and we went up the next week and met her, went up again and took her to a sonogram appointment, and then
in what state was that?
Pennsylvania. And you know, that was in March that we came back from Florida, and he was born in May, and we were in the delivery room, and I held him and Steve cut the cord.
Wow.
So we were there the whole day. Yeah, it was a great story. Birth mother was in a program, methadone program. So he was born addicted to methadone. Mm. So not quite peaches and cream there. But, you know, it turned out great. He went through withdrawal. We were there. They stay in the hospital a little longer while they do that. We were in the hospital, I think, about 2 weeks with him. Mm-hmm. And he came home, and he's been just perfect ever since.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna take a quick break, but we're gonna come back with you, Pam, because I feel like there's still many more questions that we have. We'll be right back.
Meet TED. TED stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. Each year, TED conferences bring together the world's most innovative thinkers in those fields. They are challenged to give the talk of their lives in 18 minutes. I'm Allison Stewart. We'll hear their talks and then talk to them on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Sundays at 2 on WSTL 90.7 FM.
Yeah, we're not done yet talking with Pam Green. We're talking about adoption. And Pam, you've taken us through kind of the beginning, but then we got to the light at the end of the tunnel, which was when you brought your first son home.
Yes.
And
can I just say for the record, my husband, I had two children. He didn't cut either cord. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
That Steve got the cord.
That's cool.
So was that a positive experience with your second son as well?
It was a positive experience. It was a little different. So we decided, we always knew we wanted more than one. So when we decided on the second child, we signed the paperwork on Friday, and on Wednesday they called and said, we have a birth mother.
Well, because I remember Steve saying how close together they are.
Yeah, they're 16 months apart.
Right.
So we were pretty surprised by that. Little different situation. Birth mother also addicted. As we got to know her, we discovered probably she was in a methadone program, but probably doing more also. And she was really far along, like 8 months.
Just a question. So a methadone clinic, if you're on methadone, you are addicted to heroin, and you're now using the methadone to get off the heroin, correct?
Yes, and the problem with that is that's great for the mother.
Right. What does it do to the baby?
Well, it's almost worse because it's not a natural thing. It's a chemical thing.
Ugh.
So, you know, one of the doctors said to us, I think I'd rather them have the heroin than the methadone.
Oh, wow.
And then they're supposed to drug test when they get that, but they do and they don't, and they kind of seem to know how to work around it, it seems.
Yeah.
So have you seen effects from...
With Carson, we have. Carson is delayed. He's 2.5 and probably in some areas about 1.5, some more, some a little farther. He didn't hear for the first year, and so that affected his speech. He still doesn't talk. He walked very late, but he's getting there. He's the happiest little guy, and he's coming along, and we see occupational therapists and speech therapists and physical therapists, and we really think he's going to get there. He just needs a little extra boost, but he smiles all the time. He couldn't be happier, and that's really
And you're able
matters.
To provide that for him. I think that's what, you know, the good part of this story is, yeah, there is a great...
A win-win, really.
Part of the story, and that's the end, where you are able to provide for him.
Yeah, we think about that a lot. Like, what would he be getting, if, you know, but... You know, I can't imagine. He gives us so much that we feel like we're the winners. So, and both of them, we adore them both. So.
What would your advice be for moms out there who may be struggling with infertility and you know, are on the fence about adoption? What, obviously, there are fears, but you know, what would your advice be to them?
Well, my advice, I talk to a lot of people that say, well, I don't know if my husband would want to adopt, or I don't know if I could. The minute you have that child in your arms, you forget.
Yeah.
You know, it's very easy to forget that they are adopted. So don't think I can't love something because it doesn't come from me, because you absolutely can. And then my advice would be, you know, pull on your big girl pants and get ready for some hard work.
Yeah.
And then when it's done, it's fantastic.
Mm. Right, because it's not easy.
It's not easy.
But you don't necessarily want it to be easy, though. I mean, if you think about it.
Pregnancy's not easy, I guess.
Well, and you don't want kids just placed in any type of environment. You do want them to sort of vet the process and make sure that, you know, there's a loving home and they're capable of raising children.
Right, exactly.
And your boys, do you talk to them about it? Like your four-year-old, does he know he's adopted?
Well, you know, we decided the best way for us to do it is just to use adoption as part of a word that we use all the time, you know, as part of our lives. So we haven't actually sat down and said, you are adopted, and that's what this means. But we've talked about this is what adoption is, and you know, sometimes we'll say we're an adopted family, and he has books on adoption, and, you know, we talk about it all the time. I want him to grow up and think, I don't know when I really learned. I've just always known.
Right. Oh, that's great.
You know,
that's a great way to do it. Because I'm thinking, you know, will there be an age where all of a sudden something clicks and he's like, oh, yeah, like my friend here, I have my parents adopted me. I don't know. I don't know how I would handle
certainly
that.
We don't want it to be a shock one day. You know, we just want him to always have thought I've always known, but not really sure when.
And how will you feel if they want to try to find out who their birth mothers are and pursue a relationship with them?
Well, today, at 4 and 2, I would say I would feel fine with it. At 16 and 17, when they're angry at me, I'm not sure how I'm going to feel. But, you know, my biggest concern, and actually the last thing I said to Carson's birth mother was, you know, get clean so that when they come to see you, you're healthy. And that's, you know, that's a big concern for me. And I want them to... I want them to know that their birth mothers didn't give them up because they didn't love them. They gave them up because they were sick and they had something they couldn't they couldn't beat. And so I'm hoping that by the time they're able to connect with them, they've...
I would argue that they gave them up because they love them, because they wanted a better life for them.
Absolutely, they did. And that's, you know, it's something that I think about a lot, because they were, to do that is takes an amazing person. Mm. So to be able to give up a child but not be strong enough to kick an addiction, it just tells you how strong that addiction really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Well, I think that's, you know, I think that's good advice, too, because, and who knows, maybe that will never happen. I mean, they, you know, there are some kids who, why would I want to? I mean,
right.
Yeah. You're my mom, yeah. You know?
Yeah, I mean, some do and some don't, and I think we'll be fine with it either way.
Yeah.
Do you have a support network? Is there, I asked this of Wendy earlier, but is there a support network for adopted
families?
Families?
You know, I'm sure that there is. We really don't have someone we go to. I mean, you know, we have dealt with the infants and toddlers program a little bit as our sons were going through the physical therapy and occupational therapy in the beginning. And the lady who did our home study, we have gone to, she gives a presentation like once a month for adoptive parents to get together. So they're out there. There's plenty of things out there. But we're so busy with our just daily lives that mm-hmm. we don't think to do that. So, and you know, they have, our kids are both in the same daycare, and there are two adopted children out of eight. You know, out of eight, there's four adopted children.
Oh,
so,
really?
So it's talked about, you know, so
yeah. And then, you know, moving forward though, too, I guess if you know the history of where your boys came from, you know, nothing is going to stop. There's nothing that you can't get through, I think, because of what you've been through. I think that that's the amazing part of the story, too.
Well, I hope so. Thank you.
can I ask one question, and that's cost? Is there an average cost to adopt a child in America, or?
Yes, there is. And I would say, you know, it's probably $30,000 is what you're going to spend by the time you do your home study, and by the time you, all the fees and the attorney. And that's one thing I tell people, too. They're going to give you a price, and then they're going to break it down, and they're going to say, well, we need this for this filing, and we need this for this paperwork. And the best thing to do is just get that big number in your head and forget all the reasons why it's broken down, because it's not going to make any sense to you, and you're going to get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So just have the number. You know, and I mean, we kind of did what we had to do to get it. It wasn't easy.
Of course, the cost of in vitro, you know, yeah. one after the next, it can be astronomical, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About the same.
Mm. Well, Pam, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I did meet your boys really briefly that one time at the Shorebirds, and they are adorable. So you're doing good, Mom.
They were pretty amped up that day.
Yeah, that's okay. So were mine.
All the cotton candy.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Because I Said So, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. For more information, including podcasts of this episode, visit us online at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks to Anita Renfro for allowing us to use her song Momisms as our theme song. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Look for the lady with the red hot lips.
I said so, I said so, I said so, I said so. I'm the mom, the mom, the mom, the mom.